Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Wake on up, wake up with a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh!
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
You heard the man, Spadoni, it's Shasky. We're halfway home here on a Tuesday in the Bay. Good morning to all you lovely people. Just getting off work, getting ready for work, getting ready for school. School is back. Spring break is over. Giants fall last night, 2-0 to the Cincinnati Reds. Camilo Doval struggles. Logan Webb pitches a gem, but Hunter Green pitches just a little bit better. Warriors taking on the Suns tonight right here on 95.7 The Game. 7 o'clock tip. Coverage of that starts at 6 with Warriors live, and obviously we have the post game as well. A huge 4-game stretch for them where it can make or break the season. I'm not even saying that lightly. Make or break the season, these next 4 games, as you have the Nuggets, Clippers, Dubs, T-Wolves, and Grizzlies all tied in the loss column with 32 apiece. How is this all going to shake out? Well, we'll know the answer next Monday, and it's going to culminate this Sunday, the regular season, that is, with Warriors-Clippers, but Warriors-Suns tonight. Good morning, Joe Shasky. We were just talking about Jimmy Butler and his connectivity to the fan base, himself ingratiating himself to this fan base the last 2 months. They've done a lot of winning, but we were just asking the question, how do you feel as a Warriors fan when I say Jimmy Butler is like, are you happy with his production? Are you kind of indifferent? Are you kind of like, I could have learned some more? So we're just kind of taking the temperature, if you will, as the temperature, I guess, was not great for you this morning as you were taking your lukewarm shower and you were very disgruntled.
There's nothing worse than taking a shower. I'm sorry, like all these like cold shower people.
It's good for you. I'm just telling you, the cold showers
are
good.
It might be, but I hate it. So I want a nice warm
AI
shower.
AI is telling me rinsing hair with cold water can offer benefits like sealing moisture, promoting shine, okay, and reducing frizz.
Yeah, what happens when AI gets in the shower?
Well, I'm just
shorts out.
I don't know what you're doing. Are you bringing it? What?
Loving, you are just.
Say, let's just not take AI's takes on showers. It's a robot.
You know they have waterproof stuff now, like with electronics. You know that, right?
Well, yeah, it's AI made.
AI is everywhere.
Yet.
It's in the water now. I just want you to know that. And lukewarm water is also good for shampooing for your hair and scalp. I know you're big on your hair and scalp. Lukewarm, use the shampoo, you'll be good.
Shampoo, conditioner, and then afterwards, a little Rogaine, you know, just trying to keep the flow going.
Not mad at that.
I mean,
All right. You know.
Think about connecting, right?
Like, not for hymns, for Shasky.
I've heard from a couple different of my buddies. They're like, dude, I'm loving the new Jimmy Butler Warriors.
Okay.
But I'm still like on Jimmy himself. Not that they don't like him. They're just like, they're afraid to fully embrace him, you know?
Is it because his game, like when he affects it, it doesn't show up in the box score? Is that what it is? Have we become a box score society where we're just looking at stats, 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 whether it's baseball, whether it's football, the fantasy football aspect of everything, if you will, fantasy basketball? It's like, if you're not hitting a home run, if you're not scoring touchdowns, if you're not averaging 20-plus points a game, we don't really care. Is that where we're at in a society? Is that like, that's a larger question, but I feel like that matters when it comes to connectivity sometimes.
Well, there's levels. There's all these different like levels to it. Like, for example, I think LaMelo is a great example. For whatever reason, the kids connect to him hard. He don't win anything. I think he's in terms of playing winning basketball, I think he's a terrible leader. But he fills up the box score, and he has
highlights. He has highlights.
Yes, the highlights.
Thank you, Guru. But the highlights, and he has these weird step back one-legged threes.
Yes. Right? And I think we need to add that to the connectivity.
Swag.
Swagger, coolness factor.
And he's got a name. Let's be honest. Ball has a name. There is some name recognition there, and it's polarizing, and you love LaVar Ball or you hate him. Lonzo Ball, same way, who's actually Lonzo Ball, if you hear him talk, like it's like that guy speaks. Like, no, his dad does all the talking, and then LaMelo is very flamboyant. He wears all the different accessories, got tattoos everywhere. LiAngelo, he's a rapper. You know his song. So there's name, again, you laugh. There's name recognition.
So like, I'm watching, you know, just the Warriors and how things are playing out, and I'm like, I wonder if fans are connecting with them. And if they are, why? And if they aren't, or they're kind of hesitant, I wonder what that reasoning could be. And then I started thinking about who does connect and who doesn't connect. Last night I got a text message, okay? It was from my buddy Pat Rabbit, and he was on the field, and his kid and a bunch of other boys on the baseball team went to the Giants game. They're playing the Reds. They got onto the field. Well, his son is wearing a Cincinnati Reds Ellie De La Cruz shirt. Why? Because Ellie De La Cruz is cool, and there's a swagness, and there's a style of play
that is
flamboyant, and his son and a lot of young kids really gravitate toward Ellie De La Cruz. If I just say Ellie, they all know exactly who that is.
And keep it a buck, the last name's pretty cool, too. Like, if you have a cool last name, like, it hits harder than Williams or Johnson or Smith. Like, shout out to the Guru Johnson, no shade, but De La Cruz, it rolls off the tongue. It's pretty cool.
But wouldn't you agree, when you see him step into the batter's box, you're like, oh, this doesn't look like anything I'm accustomed to, and the aura is off the charts.
The aura, again, that's the word, aura, not swag, not anything. That's what the kids, it used to be Riz for a couple years ago, the charisma. We've gone from Riz to aura now, and that's the aura factor in all this. Is there an aura around Jimmy Butler right now at the Warriors? I don't know. There's an aura around the team, and Stephen Curry's the face of said team.
Yes.
But I don't know if there's this aura. Like, I think we just got to push away, and it sounds like I'm you know, like, setting expectations here. I'm not. But maybe we all just got to push the playoff Jimmy image that we have in our minds away. That's Miami. This is Golden State, and I think what we've seen from Jimmy Butler, we're going to have to expect going forward.
Didn't
this
we for
is
a
the
long
Jimmy.
Time, didn't we for a long time clutch, and I'm not saying that he wasn't good outside of this, but didn't we clutch the Game 6 Clay? And
we
bottled that up,
we
and we brought up Game 6 Clay like it was a tangible thing forever. And maybe to a degree it was somewhat of a tangible thing. I would say that obviously prime Clay is different than where Jimmy's at in his career.
Correct.
Right now.
The age, like, that's why I'm you know, throwing that out there right now, about pushing that playoff Jimmy from Miami aside, because Jimmy's 35 years old. Like, this notion that he could revert back into that player that he was in Miami a couple years ago on a championship run, like, I don't know if that's there anymore. And nor does it need to be at this point. Let me make that very clear. You have Stephen Curry on your team. You have Draymond Green on your team.
What about
you don't
a guy
need to
that
be
you
that guy all the time.
What about the guy you haven't wrestled? Well, I feel like this fan base connects to this guy, and we never bring his name up. Kevon Looney.
Interesting.
We love him.
We love Kevon. Why do we love Kevon Looney? He's there. He's the availability.
His backstory.
He has a big smile.
He missed a full year before he even played because of the hip injury. He's old reliable, which we talk about, like, the reliability. It's not really the style of play.
No.
It's really, like, his personality is more aw shucks.
But I will say, not the style of play, But he's had moments going up against Sabonis in the playoffs. He's had moments. Whether you go back to that Rocket series, he was huge. The switching factor of Kevon Looney being able to switch and all these different players was a massive, massive plus for them.
But doesn't he seem genuine and humble? And I think that there's an authenticity to Looney that people appreciate. What were you
but there's,
say?
There's another piece of it, too, which is he's completely undersized for his position. I think people really... relate to, like, he's the David and Goliath, you know, like,
similar to Brock and Draymond, 100%, and Timmy. They don't fit the bill physically of what you expect that position to be,
but he makes it work, and he's a 3-time champion.
That's a really good call.
Well, and I think for me, and it might be under the radar, when the whole Jordan Poole Draymond Green thing happened, Looney was one of the more outspoken guys. Like, yeah, Draymond's low key got to earn our respect back too. Like, he was one of the ones that was outspoken throughout that entire thing. And like, I looked at him and was like, wow, okay. Kevon is one of the leaders of that squad. And shouts to Eddie Johnson, who again joined us last hour. If you missed any of that interview, great stuff. Eddie Johnson, Phoenix Suns analyst, former Sixth Man of the Year, SiriusXM Radio. Eddie Johnson joined us on the River Islands guest line. Find that entire interview on YouTube, which we are streaming on right now. You can see Joe Shasky's beautiful hat in his vest in San Francisco City. You can see the Sequoia National Park shirt that I'm wearing. Shout out to National Parks. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer. We are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. So we're talking connectivity with players. Kevon Looney is a great one. And what makes you connect to a player? 888-957-9570. We're playing a little game. We could pick it up, Joe. Just
I've got a bunch of names in a hat. Yeah. A bunch of names in a hat. And if you want to call in, 888-957-9570, I'll pull a couple names out and you tell me if you connect to those players or not. And if not, why? And if so, why? Like, I find this fascinating. Like, I got a little guy now and it's like, okay, what jersey am I going to get him? I'm very selective on, like, the jersey I'm going to get him. And I think a lot of this, do you connect to someone, is also the same algorithm of, would I buy your jersey for my kid?
Right.
You know, like, now, look, there's going to be a time when my kid's going to want a jersey of a player that I despise. And I'm going to end up having to pull the trigger on that no matter what. Now, if he becomes a LaMelo fan, I'm going to lose my mind.
Dad, can we get a Luka Doncic jersey?
Oh, no. I mean, honestly, if my son came to me and asked for a Laker jersey, I clearly didn't do something
proper.
Well,
by that point, Luka might be a Warrior, so who knows? There you go. Right? That would be okay then, right? No, you'll still hate the guy. His face right now, just the notion of Luka being a Warrior.
Well, just like, that's never going to happen, so like, don't tantalize.
Did you see the meme on the internet?
Did you envision Luka being a Laker 3 months ago?
No,
you didn't.
But everyone goes to the Lakers because of the conspiracy theory. Oh. But I don't know if you saw it. Shane Gillis was photoshopped
Who's Shane Gillis?
The comedian. Everyone knows him now. He's the fat comedian who's funny. He's funny.
It's big bone. He's not that fat. Come on, let's not be body shaming.
In a Laker uniform wearing the Doncic numbers, and it says, as Luka every time he plays the Warriors. Shane Gillis with this exhausted look on his face. I thought it was hilarious.
Okay, not bad. I am a fan of Shane Gillis. He is one of the good guys.
But wouldn't you agree that, I think the Lakers are a great example, LeBron doesn't necessarily connect to all Laker fans.
Well,
he's one of the most popular players ever.
That's a unique one. And again, I think fan base matters. Like, you could be a free agent or via a trade, like, and you can ingratiate yourself very quickly. If what? You win. Those organizations, you have to win immediately. Some organizations, you got to be homegrown, and it matters more. I think Warriors are still one of those organizations where being a homegrown guy is always going to matter more. We're going to hold on to the Kevon Looney's of the world, the Klay Thompson's of the world, Draymond Green, Stephen Curry. Those players, I always like to use this cliche, SEC. It just means more. It kind of does, right?
No, it does.
It does for certain organizations. But for the Lakers, and maybe I should check myself here because, you know, Magic and Kobe, I think you'd agree with this. They meet, like, those are the two greatest Lakers ever. Kareem had another career prior to the Lakers. He was a Milwaukee Buck. Not saying Kareem isn't an all-time Laker. He's probably in that top five.
Sure.
But I think Kobe being a Laker through and through, Magic, same thing, is different than Shaq, Kareem, Wilt. So fan base matters.
No doubt. Like, I think about Will Clark and Kevin Mitchell in the late 80s.
Yeah.
I was a Kevin Mitchell guy. Not that I didn't love Will Clark, but I loved Kevin Mitchell. He played for the Padres and Mets before becoming a Giant.
Right.
And then they traded him away, and he went to the Seattle Mariners, and he bounced around. So he doesn't resonate with a lot of the fan base the way he does with me. And again, that was through 8-year-old Joe Shasky.
Exactly.
9-year-old Joe Shasky, who was seeing it through a certain prism, you know? And I think that Jack Clark or Will Clark and guys like that, they hit certain age groups differently. So I'm going to pull a name out right now.
Oh.
And I'm going to ask, Sam's one of the biggest Giants fans I know.
Okay.
Carter, big Giants fan. You know the Bay better than anybody,
yep.
Joe. Robbie Thompson. If I just say the name Robbie Thompson, does that connect to anyone in the room?
Crickets.
See, Robbie Thompson to a guy in his 40s, that's my second baseman. You know what I mean? Like, I have nothing
mind,
but smiles.
Mind you, we were all born in like 1993. So
but that's my point. That's kind of my point. Like,
yeah.
Sam loves Brandon Belt. You talk to a guy in his 40s, they don't like Brandon Belt.
Yeah. Well, we had a name yesterday, which I thought was interesting. Matt Cain. That was very interesting to me. You didn't resonate as much with Matt Cain.
I like Matt Cain, but Tim Lincecum and Matt Cain, there's a Grand Canyon divide for me in terms of connectivity and love and legendary status. Cain was awesome, but I'm sorry, Lincecum's like a franchise-changing player.
I think it goes back to that word, swagger. I wouldn't use that again. Matt Cain, if you're listening, I love you. You're an all-timer. You're an all-time San Francisco Giant. No one's ever going to take that away from you. You had huge moments, champion, all of that. I would not use the word swagger with you. For Tim Lincecum, big swag
factor.
So
look at Logan Webb right now. Logan Webb doesn't hit hard the way that he should. He's a really good player. Matt Cain was a really good player. They don't hit the same way. They just don't. Like,
I would argue that Matt Cain hits because he created a piece of absolute history in that ballpark with the perfect game.
No doubt. And he also had a World Series record of scoreless innings in a row that was prolific. But if I had Timmy and Matt Cain get introduced at Oracle Park today, who's getting the bigger pop?
Oh, Tim Lincecum.
And that's not a knock on Matt Cain. He had a fantastic career.
Part of that, too, is because Timmy he's very private in his personal life, obviously. And, and we don't see him as much. And there is a factor of, man, we don't see this guy. Like, similar to, you brought up Jeff Kent, and that was interesting. And G-Man, he said he was an A's fan. But, like, Jeff Kent is an interesting one. MVP, surly.
I love Jeff
Kent. Went at it with Bonds. But, like, the guy was a winner.
Ultimately,
he was a winner. But he was a red ass. He was kind of a prick. Like, let's be honest. Like, that, like... And that resonated to the fan base. But some fans, like me, I kind of like that a little bit. I kind of like Reds, like the bad boys. Yeah. I like that sort of stuff. Like the Jose Cansecos of the world. It's like, okay, kind of like different player, but kind of a red ass. And like, I like that stuff.
So let's pull some more names out of the hat. Here's one for everybody in the room. Baron Davis.
Oh, swag. Cool.
I think there was a point in time, Baron was one of the most beloved Warriors over a 30-year period, and that includes Mully. That's how high people thought of him when he first got here.
And he had a look. Like, I'll go first and foremost. Like, the guy had the beard.
He's
he had
cool.
the headband, the bubble gum. Like, I wanted to be Baron Davis.
The bubble
Davis.
Belly.
Right, well, hey, well, it's all right. You and the fat shaming here, all right? It's okay.
Well, he was a thick boy.
Hey. We all sizes, all right? We like all sizes here on the Morning Roast, okay?
If skinny, I was going
large.
My all thick squad,
all thick boy?
It's Pablo, it's Baron Davis. Like, we would have a team.
Okay.
But, like, Baron Davis was a midseason trade, played for the Hornets or whatever they were called before. They were the New Orleans team. And then he came to the Warriors, and it was like he changed the whole
it was the Hornets then.
The
it was the Hornets then. Yeah, New Orleans Hornets.
And Jay Rich was a very beloved Warrior. Very beloved Warrior. And almost instantly, Baron was the bigger profile player.
Want to go to some of the calls here?
Yeah,
we got some callers on here. Let's
see,
you're going to rummage through the hat.
Right,
that's Joe Shasky. We're talking about players right now. Talking about Jimmy Butler, whether he resonates. We're going to throw it to the callers.
Okay.
And Joe's going to throw you some players.
All right, I got two right here.
And let's go to Greg in Walnut Creek to start us off.
All right, Greg.
There you go.
First one for you, all right? Do you connect with Monte Ellis?
Ooh. I mean, it's kind of hard because he left right as the Warriors hit it big. He was dynamic, and I'd say yes, but Curry has eclipsed him, so it's hard to say he's an all-timer.
Isn't it crazy? Like, if I asked that same question in, like, 2013, everyone's like, Monte, one of my favorite Warriors ever. And then we went on to have the greatest 10-year run in basketball history. How about Logan Webb? Do you connect with Logan Webb?
No, too new. It's, you know, the Giants, I mean, I'll go back to one of your other callers. I'm an A's fan, but Logan Webb's great. He's a nice, you know, not role player, but a nice pickup piece. But, you know, I don't think that he's going to go down in history unless he has another 4 or 5 years with the Giants. But real quick, you hit on Kevon Looney. You know what makes him lovable is I think it was his rookie season. He took an elbow to the mouth and, like, knocked a tooth out and then picked the tooth up, like, put it in his pocket and shot the free throws. And that was something that was unbelievable. So
I love that.
And then you guys talked about your son's wanting to buy a jersey for Luka Doncic. My son wants to be contrarian, so he wants to root for whoever's playing the Niners.
Oh.
And I told him, you root for the Chiefs, and you're not welcome in my house. Seven. So we're trying to train him early.
I love
All right,
that.
Thanks, guys.
God love Good you, call. Greg. He's doing the Lord's work right there. Never a Mahomes jersey in my household either. God, I was happy, so happy the Philadelphia Eagle. Well, shout out to Jalen Hurts. You'll get a Jalen Hurts jersey for the studio just for you, Joe.
Yeah, 888-957-9570.
No, that's you like that?
There's a dismissal of the year right there.
So I'm going to throw a name at you guys that I connect to more than others.
Real quick on that. Greg made a great point, and I do think it matters. He said he was an A's fan. I do think when you're a player, a certain player can transcend fan bases. Like Tim Lincecum, I think it was G-Man said, he's like, I love Timmy as an A's. Like that's one of them. I think a guy like a Dallas Braden transcends. People gravitate towards a guy like that. Like Alex Rodriguez, that whole thing with him and rocking
Yoannis
on the mound.
Cespedes.
There you go.
Fun.
Yes. Everyone.
As a Giants fan, I watched Yoannis Cespedes and I was like, give me all of that.
Right.
Ricky Henderson.
Yep.
Coolness personified.
Yep.
Obviously was just prolific. I had not one negative thought in my head. I was like, that's a dude that I love.
Barry Bonds. I was an A's fan. Barry Bonds is probably still my favorite player of all time. I wanted to be Barry Bonds. Who didn't? Like, that was the guy for most of Carter. Sam, your childhood too. Like, I played in Pittsburgh for half of it. And that's an interesting one too. Barry Bonds. Like, yeah, all-time Giant. Giants fans love him. Half his career was in Pittsburgh.
Well, early parts.
Third of his 6 years.
First third of his career.
Sorry, yeah, half as strong.
15 with the Giants.
A third of his career. Yeah, excuse me.
But it's a good point. And he was also a local guy who went to Sarah High School, and his dad had connections to the Giants.
And Pittsburgh still loves him because people don't look at Pittsburgh, Barry. They look at him as a different player. Mm-hmm. But Pittsburgh, like, when you could transform two different fan bases and have that sort of love,
absolutely,
that is a rarity. Like, that is, yeah, like, that doesn't happen very often. Like, when you can get the love of Roger Clemens, right? Like, Boston Red Sox Roger Clemens, New York Yankees Roger Clemens. Did winning both of there, but winning championships made him a Yankees legend,
Let
right?
me throw this name at you guys, all right? Did you guys connect with Steven Jackson?
Ooh, that's a good one.
And there was a time for me as a Warrior fan, I loved me some Stack Jack. Captain Jack was what he went by.
Swagger,
freeze,
toughness.
And then he wanted the contract extension and to be traded out. And I was like, get this guy out of here.
Mm.
See, I think I kind of had a similar arc as you there, Joe. Like,
I loved him.
During the We Believe run, it's just like, you're my guy. I'm behind you, Captain Jack. But then, yeah, it just, his time kind of fizzled out, and it's like, you know what, you kind of wore out your welcome. And he was a part of the Monte Ellis trade in 2012. And like, I was like, no, I don't want him coming back here. He was a malcontent at the end. So
I totally agree.
It was good for a while, less so now. Now though, it's like, I like Steven Jackson, but I don't know if I'd ever truly would say I connect with him on that upper level.
How about Brandon Ayuk? Because he was at the game the other night on Friday, and Carter, you were at the game. And the Warrior, he was at the Warrior game, sitting sideline. And Brandon Ayuk, current player, you know, has been a really good 49er, had some contract stuff. And they showed his face on the Jumbotron. What was the reaction?
Real quick,
the crowd?
Not contract stuff, contentious holdout that bled into the season almost. And he was getting booed in the first couple games at Levi Stadium. And was he getting booed at Chase Center, Carter?
Not really, but I will tell you, right when they showed him, I turned to Sierra and I said, I just don't think that's the best look, him sitting here courtside.
Was it a cold reception?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't applause by any means.
But there was a cool
cold
moment
like a
there
shower.
Where, thank you, that was a good callback. Steph dapped him up after like a three-point shot, right? Like on the court, like that was pretty cool, right?
It's like when somebody strikes out and I go run over and put my arm around them as they're coming out the, you know, it's okay, little Timmy. It's like, dude, what are we doing?
I'm rooting for Brandon Ayuk, man. I want this guy to have a comeback this next year. And by the way, do we know anything about his physical, like when like he was supposed to have like an update? No one knows, shrugging, everyone.
Hence
no
why the trade market dried up.
Exactly. Well, there's the trade market dried up for everyone, it seems like. 888-957-9570. Alex in Atlanta, we'll get to you on the other side. What makes a player relatable? Connectivity. I think what I'm getting at here is when we were talking about Jimmy Butler, It's just time. Let's give him some time here. And I think he can ingratiate himself to this fan base in a short amount of time if he has some playoff moments. And we'll get into that on the other side as well. 888-957-9570. Spadoni, Chasky, it's the Morning Roast. We're rolling, and it's brought to you by the San Francisco International Airport.
Traveling in 2025? Start your journey right at SFO. With the most nonstop flights from the Bay Area, easy parking, and tasty food, why settle for less? Start your trip like a true Bay Area champ. Fly from SFO, where your best journeys begin. Visit flysfo.com.
Hey, it's Spadoni here. Talk about the Oakland Roots, and they're facing off against FC Tulsa this Saturday, April 12th, and you can catch the game on KTVU Plus or ESPN Plus. You got to come catch an Oakland Roots game. What are you doing if you haven't? At the Oakland Coliseum. That's right. We got soccer at the Coli. We've done the football. We've done the baseball. No, we've got the fastest growing sport, baby. No, I'm not talking pickleball. No, we're talking soccer in America, baby. Come out, show your Oakland pride, and enjoy the energy of an Oakland Roots game. It's fun for the whole family. I took my two little ones there, a five-year-old and a two-year-old. So if I can take a five-year-old and a two-year-old, you can take your 10-year-old, your nine-year-old. Hell, I saw some newborn babies out there, all right? Get the little headphones. You got to protect the little ears, all right? We're very sensitive to the hearing now. And it gets loud. Again, we had 26,000 plus there on that opening night at the Coli. It was sick. We got the day games back. We got tailgates back. It is awesome. And you can go to OaklandRootsSC.com to get your tickets today. Send one here. I will wear it every single Tuesday at every home game the rest of the season. Dumbo. I will rock these. Oh, they're sweet. I like them. You think I'm kidding?
They're so bad. The SF hat looks like it's a knockoff version.
Oh, I haven't seen that one. Let me see the knockoff version. I saw the jersey, not
of
the hat.
The knockoff version that you would buy at Fisherman's Wharf for $100.
Giant City.
Am I wrong?
It is so.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, indecision, overthinking, second-guessing every choice you make. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, beige on beige on beige. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bad. This, dude, there are liquor stores.
Oh, those are cool. I like
that.
The bill?
Don't even fake it. They're so bad.
I'm not faking it. I like it.
And then they've got white pants with just an orange stripe. I thought you were going black on black. What are you doing?
You know what? Jung Woo Lee looks swagalicious with this outfit. They're loving it.
They're caught up between graffiti art and hippie art, and it just missed the mark completely.
And they missed them on both, yes.
They missed the mark on both. I think I'm going to side
with you on this one, Joe, with the Shasky on the City Connects. I'm out on these.
Again, if you're going to do it,
You guys don't know fashion.
Did you see the Friday Night Black jerseys that they wear with the orange bills? They're pretty sweet.
Yeah, I know.
All you have to do is go black pants with those, and you would look so sick. So sick. There's nothing wrong. They have got nothing but sweet uniforms, the Giants, throughout the entire history, going back to the 1880s.
So you guys just can't see the vision, all right? There's the Grateful Dead aspect to it.
Yeah, got blinded by the ugliness.
Kind of a thing. No. Ugly was what was last year, the last couple seasons. The creamsicles. This isn't Tampa Bay, all right?
So bad.
This feels more San Francisco, cutting edge. You guys just can't see the vision, all right? I can.
Joe, in the mission.
Talking about connecting and cities connecting and players connecting, this is connecting me. Shout out Dalton.
It's missing me. And I think about in the Mission, you can go to any liquor store. I grew up a block away from Mission Street in Excelsior. You can go to any liquor store you want right now.
You grew up in San Francisco?
And you can get a knockoff SF hat that looks actually better than the knockoff City Connect, whatever the heck that is. It's so bad. It's so bad.
I'm keeping it a buck. The City Connect jerseys across baseball are so bad that this one is looking pretty good in comparison to me.
That's why
I'm comparing it off what the last City Connect was, and that was so god awful. This might as well get put in the Louvre. This should be in France.
I don't whistle when I walk by the graveyard.
The Niner black jerseys look down on these. The Warrior
people
yellow,
like those Niner black jerseys.
We should never wear black.
I still see so many of
so
those.
Dumb.
I know. Well, because the Raiders are here for so long. I feel bad. Yeah.
And then not only that, not only do the Niner black jerseys look down on them, the freaking Warrior ones where they had pinstripe shorts, solid top, yellow, long sleeve tops.
I kind of like
look down on.
I kind of like the banana tops. I kind of like those.
They were awful. These are.
Were you into the slate grays for the Warriors? Like the slate kind of charcoal.
Cool.
Okay, all right.
Those are fine.
The tree on there.
I actually think the ones that are the most underrated, the Warrior ones that have come out in recent memory, they had these Chinese New Year ones.
Oh, those ones are sick.
They were sick.
Those are the best ones ever.
Yeah, those ones are cool.
Like straight fire emoji. I will give you that.
Liquid hot magma. We're talking about connections with players, and no, not the jerseys. But if you're that strongly about the Giants City Connects, 888-957-9570 is the number. But we're talking about Jimmy Butler today. We're talking about what makes him connect. We've been talking about the last hour. How does a player connect to a fan base? And what's your criteria? What have we got narrowed down right here, Joe Shasky? Because we've hammered it out, I think.
So there's winning.
Okay, winning's one.
Although you could take one or two of these off the list for any player. It doesn't have to be all of these.
It could really be one, or it could be a couple.
Yeah. Winning.
Okay.
Personality.
Okay.
Backstory or career arc.
Okay.
We love a good redemption. Like Dave Dravecki, who we had on.
Sure.
This is incredible career arc and a backstory.
Jim Plunkett. There you go.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Ryan Vogelsong. If I just throw that name out, like, wow, former flamed out first round pick, traded away, comes back. What a great story.
Yeah.
Relatability. I think a lot of those guys have a relatability. There's an authenticity or a genuine quality about that individual.
Yeah. I'll plug that into relatability.
Right. Reliability.
We're okay.
Times are tough. This person always steps up.
Yep. Five.
The person you are off the floor, off the court, off the field.
Okay. I'll hear that.
Play style/coolness factor.
Okay. So we got seven, if my math is correct there. Seven different key things that you need to be to ingratiate yourself to a fan base. It doesn't have to be all seven. It could be one, could be two, could be a combination.
Four. You got
to
check at least four.
Ooh. I don't know. I think if you're part of a winning culture, and did we add you have maybe that's tied into the backstory. If you're from the area.
Well, that's backstory.
Is that backstory?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I was going to say, because
that's
a different one. Like
Brandon Crawford, backstory, grew up locally.
Had a picture of Keep the Giants in San Francisco when he was a kid.
You know?
I think he was from the East Bay, though. Pleasanton, right, if I'm not mistaken. But there was a backstory there. Juan Toscano-Anderson, right?
Juan Toscano-Anderson's a great one.
There's one right there.
So they won when he was here.
Mm-hmm.
He was a personality because he smiled a lot, and you're like, wow, man, he really embraces who he is.
Right.
His backstory, growing up locally, was just incredible and bouncing around. Was he in a Mexican basketball league at some
correct.
Point?
Correct, because he is Mexican.
There was a relatability factor to him where he felt like the aw shucks guy off the streets, even though he's like 6'6", 6'7".
Yeah.
he felt very authentic. Like, he was very comfortable in who he was, mm-hmm. and wearing 95 because of 95th in East Oakland was awesome.
And again, he was a guy that dove, and he got bloodied up, and he did the extra things that you need from a bench player that for a championship run.
And I think there was a play style where he played above the rim and a coolness factor where, like, he just felt like one of us.
Okay, so that was a couple there. Yeah, cool. We added coolness to Juan Toscano, right, and winning, and a backstory, absolutely. And I do think... you don't have to play for the local team. You could be from the area and you could root for these guys. Like, I think of
Jared Goff.
Jared, there you go.
Like, a lot of people, no one's like, I hate Jared Goff.
No.
People are like, I'm rooting for him.
Right?
Most people.
Jimmy Rollins, I think, is a guy like
Great
that.
Great call.
Right? There's a lot of
Great
East Bay
call.
Products.
CeCe Sabathia.
Again, I know he's not your favorite player, but Dame Lillard, I think a lot of people love him because he represents Oakland. Marshawn Lynch, he was a Seahawk.
He was quintessential of what you're talking about.
He was a Seahawk, and Niners Seahawks. Marshawn Lynch.
And we never had a negative word to say
about
loved,
him. You loved Marshawn.
Not one.
Hated negative. Russell Wilson. Hated Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor and Pete Carroll.
Julian Edelman.
Right, there you go.
Like I get to come up with a lot of these local guys that go on elsewhere and we root for.
Tom Brady? San Mateo? Did you see? I throw it Tom, and he's a local guy, and he rooted for the Giants, but he started winning so much in Boston. He's like, he's a Boston guy.
Well, I think there's a lot with Tom. Like, is he really authentic? We know he's reliable.
Well,
does he really have that great of a personality?
If you ask a lot of the awful announcing articles that I saw about his broadcasting chops this year. People would say he's very AI, ChatGPT, Tom Brady. The T in ChatGPT was for Tom Brady.
Well, let's put Jimmy through this criteria. So Jimmy Butler currently, they're winning. They're winning at an alarming rate.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's check that, okay? Personality. I think it's kind of...
I'm going to have an incomplete there so far. I don't know who Jimmy Butler is yet. But maybe that's part of the mystery. Okay. Maybe that's why it makes him kind of a conundrum.
What about the backstory, the career arc, the way that he left Miami?
It's definitely interesting. I don't know if I love it. I think a lot of Warriors fans, that's part of it.
Point.
Because Warriors fans, what are the first thing they say is, that was then, this is now. I don't care about any of that. So they give, and I think your mother-in-law spoke to this, right? He's like, I don't care what he did.
She does not care about what happened in Miami.
Clean slate here.
100%.
So the backstory, I think we're going to just leave off. We're not going to check that. Whether that's going to be, doesn't matter to us right now.
Okay, so no. All right, let me just go no there. Okay. How about relatability? Is he relatable? He does not strike me as the everyman.
He's a coffee guy. Okay, I like coffee. I can get down with that. Emo Jimmy was kind of a thing, a little quirky.
I mean, white braids.
Do you want white braids?
He's looking good. There's a coolness factor. Like, he oozes cool, but I don't know if that's relatable.
I don't think he is relatable to the common person.
Yeah, well, I'm going
to
say no.
He's also like 6'7", so maybe Carter can relate to him.
His coffee is $60 a cup. I mean, how relatable is that?
Doesn't get more Bay Area than that, so you know what? Check the box.
Yeah, we should tariff that thing. what about, is it authentic or genuine? Is he authentic?
I would say yes on that. I think he's very much himself every day, for better or worse.
I think he's more calculated than you're giving him credit
for. I think so, too. I think he's very calculated, and I think he is very aware of his public image, and I think he is calculated when it comes to that. And you know what? I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us are. Like, I think to a degree you are, I am. Like, we are very self-aware. I think you kind of have to be.
Is he more curated?
Real quick, if you're a millennial, you low-key have to be calculated in how you are perceived. Now, some people, like the Nikola Jokic's of the world, don't give a damn.
I heard from somebody during the All-Star Game festivities, somebody that did a lot of corporate stuff with a lot of these players. Jokic could not be bothered to lift a finger, you know, behind it. He could not care less about any of the other stuff. He didn't yuck it up.
Nope.
Not that this is a bad... No one said he was a bad person.
No.
I'm just letting you know, like, he has no desire whatsoever to go... out of his way at all to appease any corporate sponsors, any regular fans. No, I'm not saying he's a bad person. I'm just saying I heard from a very reliable individual who was around, like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, could not have been nicer.
Right.
Could not have been more forthcoming.
Right.
And I guess really wanted to strike relationships and smile in pictures and things like that. I don't think Jokic wants those things.
No, he doesn't. And that's actually another aspect in all this, the background, the story. Being a European player and trying to gravitate yourself, not even European, just an overseas player, because we're seeing with Jung Hoo Lee right now, right?
It's tough.
Like, it's very tough. But we're saying, like, if you make some plays, make some wow plays, you smile a lot. I think that does go a huge way. Now, Jokic has kind of made it his own thing that, like, does this guy even like basketball? It's almost become like a quirk, if you will, and that works in Denver. I don't know if that works in New York City.
But I
don't know if that works in Los Angeles, right? I don't know if that works there.
I do think that mystique is fascinating.
Okay.
I'll sure. say that. Like, it's like Kawhi has a mystique similar to that, and I find him fascinating.
He's a very interesting individual. So, and Kawhi's from LA, so that's a little different, but the Clippers fan base.
So
what is
I think Jimmy is more authentic than he is calculated, so I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
Do we agree on that?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
So he's authentic. Okay. How about reliability? Is he reliable?
He has been.
Okay.
He has been reliable here. Again.
Until he's not.
That was the thing that was baked into the end of that. But again, we're talking about clean slate here. He's been reliable.
I think that when I see him walk on the floor, I feel the coolness factor through the television, but I could be wrong. Do we all agree on that?
He is pretty calm, cool, and collected. He is.
There's an aura about him, right?
Yes. So I think he's...
Okay, so he checks winning.
Okay.
We gave him an incomplete on personality, no on the backstory, no on the relatability, yes on being authentic, yes on being reliable, yes on the plainness factor or the cool factor. I think he should be resonating more. But I do think your point about it takes time is very... Like, if they go on a run here and he has a couple of games in a series and it swings thing, his pendulum's all the way back up to the top.
Listen, he hasn't been here a full season, so like you can like people are probably texting like this is unfair.
It's
and,
2 months.
It's 888-957-9570. If Jimmy Butler's connecting to you as a Golden State Warrior, we'd love to hear from you. Alex in Atlanta will get to you in a second on what makes a player relatable. And we asked Eddie Johnson, obviously does a lot of coverage for the Phoenix Suns, their pre- and post-game. He was a former player. Like, Kevin Durant is an interesting player and where he resonates, right? Like, he was homegrown. Well, first off, he was a Seattle Supersonic. They moved to Oklahoma City. They get to a finals. They don't get it done. They blow a 3-1 lead to the Warriors, and then he joins that same team, and then he wins immediately there, becomes a finals MVP back-to-back. He was amazing. He was great. He's an all-time, I think he's an all-time Warrior no matter what. You win two finals MVPs. I don't give a damn. No. He could do that anywhere.
I think most people agree with you.
But some wouldn't. Some would say, I don't know if he's an all-time Warrior. Kevon Looney's more of an all-time Warrior than Kevin Durant. Like, some people would say that. Yeah, they would make that argument.
Aren't reasonable.
But some people would make that argument. Eddie Johnson talked about Kevin Durant, and he's not going to play tonight with the Phoenix Suns, by the way, if you're just joining us. Warriors Suns, 7 o'clock, 4 games left in this regular season. Massive stretch. Coverage of that starts at 6 o'clock with Warriors Live. Is Kevin Durant connecting, or has he connected at all with the Phoenix Suns? Eddie Johnson.
Suns fans, they very well connected with him. But you judge by wins. You judge by successes in the playoffs. And you know, it has nothing to do with your basketball ability. Everybody knows. You march Kevin Durant out there in the uniform, he's going to get you 25 to 28 points a game. He's going to shoot 50% plus. He's going to shoot near 40, which he's doing this year from three. He's going to shoot a tremendous percentage from the free throw line. And, you know, most importantly, he's going to show up every night. Like, he's going to play nicked up. You know, he's not going to wait till he's 100%. All those things that you want from a professional athlete, KD gives you. And so the fans, the Suns fans, without a doubt, you know, but – you know, in the days of salary cap and the days of, like, you're restricted in certain movement, that's when people start to bring things up. But it's never a question of his basketball skill.
Eddie Johnson, who joined us last hour, find that entire interview on YouTube or the Free Odyssey app. Let's go to Alex in Atlanta. He's hanging on tight. He wants to talk about what makes a player relatable. Alex, good morning to you. How you doing, Night of Numbers?
Guys, I'm doing good today. Look, there are two guys that come to mind as I've been listening through this conversation you've been having about what makes a player relatable, what endears them to a city. Two guys that came to mind immediately for me were Brian Wilson and Hunter Pence, and for slightly different reasons. You know, Brian Wilson, when he was here, he really reflected that personality of that 2010 Giants team, which is, this is, aside from the young guys, this is a bunch of misfits. This is a bunch of cast-offs, an island of misfit toys, if you will, that really banded together to help the Giants win a World Series. He had this unique look to him. I mean, he eventually got his own merch as part of the Giants with those fake beards that the people in the crowd would wear. You know, you could see him riding around on his scooter in San Francisco. He had a vibe, an aura to him that I thought really matched the vibe and the aura and the personality of the city of San Francisco. And then Hunter Pence, that's a guy who, ever since he came to the Giants, really embraced being a part of the city he was playing for, being a part of the San Francisco culture. I mean, you could still follow him on Instagram today and see him going around different places in San Francisco, whether it's, you know, hitting up places in the Marina District, hitting up city lights. You know, that's what endears a player to me, is when they embrace not only the team culture that they become a part of, but they embrace the city culture and the city personality of where they're playing for.
Yeah, I would
agree. That's a good call, Alex, in Atlanta.
You know, like when KD first got here, remember he was riding BART, riding bicycles?
Yeah.
How many of those pictures made it all across the internet? It felt like, oh, wow.
The funniest picture ever is still the one him in a hard hat and a safety vest. The Chase Center construction, him just standing there, and it's like, it's always the meme of like me whenever I try to hammer like a picture onto my wall at home. It's me in the hard hat and everything.
Who would you trust at a construction site more to get something done, KD or Bonte Hill?
Oh boy.
I know everything.
No, you do not. Which one is using TaskRabbit faster?
Of us four, who would you trust to hang a picture?
Well, you do the Golden State Lumber ads. I would hope that you know how to do that.
I have multiple drills. I'm not very good at it. I will try it. I will put a lot of holes in
it. I'm the command strip guy. I can do the command strips with the best of them.
Bro, you're pulling so much of the sheetrock off the wall when that's done.
Well, no, because you're not doing it right if you're pulling it off correctly. You got to be doing it right. Like, clearly you're just ripping it off. There's a little tab at the bottom. I don't know if you know this, the command strips. You slightly pull on them, and it doesn't pull off any wall, okay? All right? Have you pulled off a lot of paint? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, what I'm saying is when I hang a picture, I hang it with like a nail, and sometimes depending on if it's
plaster walls. Puncturing the wall. I don't do that.
Yeah, but you can always, you know, mud and tape it back up.
Nah, I don't do that. I don't put holes in my walls. I put command strips on there, and it sticks very nicely. Get the Velcro. It's easy. If you have to pull out a leveler, it's already too much for me.
No, it's not. No, they have the little levelers that actually have a magnet on them, and you put them on top of the picture frame, and it tells you exactly where you're at.
That's too much. That's a no for me, dog. I got to do it by myself sometimes.
They have tape measures that actually have the leveler on it.
You know they have tape measures on your phone to do it for you, too, from like a distance?
Oh, I didn't know that.
They'll calculate it. Yeah, AI. It's pretty amazing. But from all four of us here, I'm going that you could probably do the most handyman stuff.
I don't know.
My dad wasn't a handyman because he worked two jobs and like he just didn't have the time to do it.
We were doing demo work.
And we had
work.
Friends that did it. So
yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I used to have my dad do all this stuff. So, but if I were like doing demo work, Sam Lubman would be at top of my list.
Oh, well.
Just hand him the sledgehammer back away.
No, it is fun to hit stuff with the sledgehammer.
And then just tell him, Brandon Belt sucks.
Oh.
And I'll just picture your face.
Whoa!
I wouldn't actually.
Don't shoot
him. Honestly, you know who I'm trusting to do anything? I'm trusting our guy Carter here. I mean, he's got the height, so I know he's going to be able to hang the picture up at, like, the correct spot. And he's a meticulous guy. I think he'll make sure it's level. I'm trusting Carter, and he's a pretty strong guy, too, so I give him the sledgehammer
as well.
If
I'm doing a move and I have very high drawers and shelves, definitely Carter. Definitely.
No for all of this. Honestly, no chance.
Carter,
I'll be the guy who puts his finger on the wall and tells you where to hang the painting.
You know what? That's a very important role, though.
He pulls up his phone.
Wad of cash.
Yeah, there you go.
He licks his finger, and he's peeling off the 20s as he's paying someone to do the work.
After Houston lost yesterday, I don't know if he has that wad of cash anymore. It's a tough one for you, boy. That's tough. Todd Golden and them boys in Florida getting the dub yesterday.
TaskRabbit.
Have you used it before, ever?
No, but somebody was telling me about this laundry service that they use. I think my boy Gabe Gioso, he says that there's this new app where this guy comes and picks up all of his laundry, and it's ready to go. If you give it to him by a certain time today, it'll be ready for you like 8 a.m. the next day.
So TaskRabbit, yes. Alex the Rabbit, no.
Are you talking about Rinse?
I don't know. It's some app, he said.
Wait, what? He just doesn't have a washer. He doesn't have a washer or dryer?
He doesn't have a washer and dryer.
It's Rinse.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's... I used to use it. It's whatever. They once gave me back someone else's sheet. That was kind of the end.
See, I used to...
Was it clean? That's what I want to know. That's all you need. Oh, no, he made a face.
When me and my boy Shay were living off of Golden Gate in Arguello, there was this little, like, you know, corner little laundromat, right? You'd have to put all the quarters in there. You go broke. I mean, just... Because we would only buy just, the, like, what we needed, the single-use stuff. So, and, of course, it costs you way more when you do it that way. I put all my laundry, and this was coloreds, whites, everything all in one, you know, because I was poor. And I just threw it all in there. We went and got 40s. I was, like, 19. Went down and got 40s down the street at the Arguello Market where they have a killer turkey sandwich.
They do. And, shout out Pat Olson, who always plugs it.
And we came walking back.
Famous
somebody
Arguello
stole
Market.
My wet laundry. All of it. Took my Giants jersey and everything. I'll never forget it.
So I will say this.
My McCovey throwback.
I've been using like a community, not a community, but you have to pay for it, but like in an apartment complex, they have some that you can pay. And it's all on your phone now, which is nice. It's like this Tumble app. But that is a no. If someone's wet laundry in there, I don't care. You give me 10 minutes. Do not touch my clothes that are in there. Don't move them. Don't do anything. I don't care how impatient you are. Do not touch my wet laundry. That is my TED Talk for today. We'll get back on the subject at hand. Players connecting. And real quick, I want to get to this because we're talking about Jimmy Butler and his connection. We talked so much about Jonathan Kuminga and him connecting to a fan base, his polarization. And he's a very polarizing player. If I was to ask you, as we were making fun of the City Connects, and talk about this Giants team right now, who on the Giants is connecting with you, Joe Shasky, who's one of the biggest Giants fans in all? I'll say I'm loving the same question. Who on this current squad that is 8-2 is connecting with you that maybe wasn't connecting last year that's still on this team? I think, first and foremost, it's this guy Jung-Hoo Lee, who I know we were poking fun at the hooligans and the Jung-Hoo crew. I do think he's connecting early on, and I think that's important because he is one of your highest-paid players. Like, Willy Adames... Like, I don't know if he's connecting, like, as much as you would want early on, but he has had moments.
Well, the play hasn't been great, but...
It's early. Again, it's early.
He says all the right things. Mm. And then I see him in the dugout and, like, the reactions and how intense he is and how he's rooting for everyone and pulling for everyone. There's this saying in baseball, you can't let your play affect your energy, right? And I see a guy who, even though he might be struggling... He's still having great positivity in that dugout. There's nothing worse than, I'm not doing well. My shoulders go down. I'm going to let everyone know that I'm not happy. No, you have to remain positive, and you have to have an aura about you when you're a leader on the team. You got to stay as even-keeled as possible in terms of your optimism, and I've noticed that from him. So early on, I'm really, like, really liking Willie, but it's too early for me.
Okay.
I connect to Chapman. Okay. I just love Chapman.
Friend of the show.
And I probably love him more than others. And the other guy that I really like, really, really like, is I like Elliot Ramos. There's a underdog quality to him where of all the prospects, he's kind of got like, you know, cast aside. And he goes about it in a grinded out way. And I sincerely appreciate the way he's made the most of his opportunities. And I think that there's a personality there that is yet to be untapped.
When I say Logan Webb, who pitched magnificently yesterday, again, he gets, you know,
probably
gets a
the
loss.
Most popular Giant in is, terms of Q rating?
Is he? I would ask the
Nobody
question.
Nobody has a negative thing to say about him.
That doesn't mean like he's like popular, though.
No, just but because, his approval rating is through the roof.
Okay, sure.
Whereas, like, if I named all the other guys, someone might nitpick a little, like, Yastrzemski.
Well, that's an interesting one, too, Mike Yastrzemski. Like, I think Giants fans love that guy.
Depends how old you are.
Okay, so it's an age factor with you.
Yeah,
there.
If you're 21, I think you like Ms. Shemsky because that's all you know.
Is the name more of a fact? Like, he's been pretty, like, I think he's been a pretty good Giant. Like, but he's played in an era.
Solid.
He's played in an era where they haven't really had much winning. They've had one winning season, and I didn't think he had his, like, greatest year that year. It was a mixed bag, so I thought he was pretty good last year, and then this year, obviously, and I thought he had a hell of a cutoff yesterday. In the field over Ella De La Cruz, who had multiple bases written all over it. I thought he's been a great defensive outfielder for them.
See, well, for me, Mike Yastrzemski is an avatar for, oh, we found you. Like, and I'm just, this is an avatar, a metaphor, if you will, of Farhan found you at the bargain bin, and we've rinsed the towel for every last drop. And although he's a solid player, like, he represents something bigger than his game to me. And it's kind of like the shift in, we went from a Bochy, Sabian, Bobby Evans run team to a Farhan-led team.
See, that's why I thought like Austin Slater was more representative of that. But I hear you that he might be representative still old regime. But I do like his last name. Like, that has some cachet for people. Like,
well, yeah.
Wait, Yastrzemski, I know that name. It's also so long. He has a nickname. Whenever you have a nickname, you've ingratiated yourself within a fan base. Like, Yaz is a thing.
But he's an above-average player.
Yes.
Right?
Well, I think also with Yaz, I mean, we talk about our criteria here. I think two of the ones that he kind of hits is personality. I mean, when you do hear him talk and you do converse with him, like, he's a pretty cool guy to talk with. You can kind of laugh with him a little bit. And
I don't think
I do think there is an authentic... What? Sorry?
I don't think personality with Yaz. I'm just being real.
Oh, well, I mean... from conversing with him, I picked up personality. Yeah. And I do think there is an authenticity to who he is. Like, he knows who he is. Like,
I would agree. Yeah. I would agree on that.
No, it's a good call, Sam. And I
and
do
he's
think,
reliable.
I think we got to be careful, too.
Reliability, too. I think he checks that as well.
Sure, because those Giants teams in 2010, 12, and 14 had so much personality
oh
on them.
God.
Like, no.
Sergio Romo had more personality in his right arm than it feels like the entire bullpen.
So I do think we get caught in this.